For your devotion, it seems like you must have read Ephesians. Things are lining up. Wow. And Judy, for the praise songs, it always encourages me how music, singing praise song, can bring us into God's presence. Like, sometimes I think I don't have an urge to be there, but when I sing, it moves me in a different direction. Well, we're winding up Ephesians this morning. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 has one of my favorite Bible verses. Do you know what it is? It's right in the middle of the chapter. It's who we wrestle with. When I was a senior in high school, there was a guy in my class who was a state champion wrestler. His name was Rod. I don't think he's living anymore. But Rod was so good at wrestling that he would always wind up on the top when he wrestled. Like, wow, 121 or 127? You don't know. He was very light in weight, but he always was a winner. I thought, wow, in a spiritual world, I like to be that kind of a person, always wind up on the top. So what we wrestle against, the rest of the verse goes, is that we wrestle against the evil in our world. This morning, I'm going to be really blunt with this morning. I hope I'm not going to be offending, and I'm not going to be sharing things probably you don't know, but I think things that we need to be reminded of. I'm going to talk about the strategies of the devil and then how we deal with that. I think some of us are coming into the back door of our lives and we aren't realizing that. And because it's such a surprise to us, I probably don't even recognize all that they are. But so this morning I've asked, this is not a way to treat a visitor, but I asked Nathan to read Ephesians to us. I know Nathan well enough to know that he loves to read scripture. And so when I asked him, he said, yay! And you know, Melinda said, you have more to read. Well, anyway. So Nathan, I invite you, can just stay seated. I invite you to read from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18.
Okay, so it's on the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints.
Thank you, Nathan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come now and just be our teacher. In your name we pray. Amen. So I went to, after I got up this morning and took a shower, I went to my clothes closet and said, what am I going to wear? Did anybody else do that? What am I going to put on? And since I just read Ephesians 6, I couldn't find that there, my helmet and my belt. But anyway, we're going to remind ourselves again of what we need to put on in the world that we live in. I think Ephesians 6, verse 11 or 12, whatever it is, that we wrestle not, what we don't wrestle against is flesh and blood. What we do wrestle against is suggesting that in our world, the world is kind of a battlefield. I think this is not new to us. As a matter of fact, day by day and hour by hour, and even as I thought back in my week, minute by minute, we're in a spiritual war. And we're warring with an enemy who's real. He wants to bring defeat to us. He wants to steal and wants to kill and wants to destroy. And the forces of darkness aren't waiting for us to be ready for that. They come at times, even when we are not prepared. So the supreme enemy of God is Satan. Satan is his name, and devil is what he is. Satan is his name, and that was an interesting study. Some of these little bunny trails would make a whole sermon in themselves, so that'll be the way that it is. Wicked or evil one is in direct or in direct opposition to everything that God is and all that God wishes to do. In Matthew 13:25, where it says the parable of the weeds, Jesus calls the enemy, or Satan is called the enemy. And this is, I think this is one of the enemies that Jesus does not want us to love or to befriend. There aren't many enemies that Jesus doesn't want us to do, but this is one of them. In John 8, Satan is called a murderer, and these are the words of Jesus. In Revelation 20, verse 10, Satan is called a deceiver, and it started with Eve. It's also in that verse called the prince of demons, or Beelzebub. In John 12, 31, he's the ruler of this world. In Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's talk about some wiles this morning. Wiles in other translations or paraphrases means strategies or schemes or tricks. I'm coming to understand in my study these past few weeks that events in our life are not just accidents or random unfortunate circumstances. I'm coming to understand that some of the events in our life are not just accidents. There is an unseen spiritual side to everything that happens in the visible, physical world. There is unseen spiritual side. A few weeks ago, our neighbor, I guess I can name her, Grace, lives a few houses, cottages from us, came out and said, with all these weeks of dryness, what is wrong in my life? I thought, wow, Grace, you're taking on the condition of the whole or this area because of something that you think you did? That got me to thinking. Behind everything that we see, there's an unseen reason. Whoa. For example, you may not see gravity, but we see its effects. Some areas in our world understand this better than we do. I had the privilege of serving in the Navajo Reservation when I was 19 and 20 years old. And I learned to know a Navajo Indian whose name was Mabel. Mabel was on the Indian tribe, tribal council. So she had a very high up position, but Mabel was also Christian. Mabel made Navajo rugs, which I love. But Mabel showed me that when she made a rug, she would have a black cord go from the center of that rug to the end of it. I said, Mabel, what's that about? Is it a boo-boo or what? She said, no. The evil spirit, I'm making way for the evil spirit to get out of the middle of that rug. Like, wow. When I went to Ghana, Africa in 17, the first worship service we went to, there was about 150 African believers there. And they were all going in a circle going, guess, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought, wow. First of all, there's a lot of energy here, but... Afterwards, I asked the pastor, what in the world are you doing? They said, we're pushing out the evil spirit. And then they went on with some other activities that they had. One of them was that the women grabbed all the visitors and put their arm in your arm, and we danced together. When we were done with that, the lady that had my arm said, what are you thinking? That's not a good question. Like, well, are you women so aggressive? That's not what I told her, but because they live with witch doctors and voodoos and black magic. What is the form in America that we do that would be similar to that? Do we understand some things? I think we do, but first of all, people of color are more expressive, and so I understand that part. That's very interesting. So let's look at some strategies of the devil. Some schemes or some tricks or some wiles. We don't use wiles in our language today. So this is not the total list, of course, but and I think some of the comments or examples that I use will be very blunt. One of the things that the devil does is challenges God's word. Satan still uses it because it works so well. Like, he used this 2,000 years ago, and it's still one of his tricks today. The first recorded words of the devil through the serpent in Genesis 3:1 was, "Did God really say? Did God really say? You must not eat from any tree?" When Eve added her human interpretation, she convinced herself that God's word was far too restrictive. Satan invites us to add our own interpretation, which may oppose God's will. Entire church denominations falling prey to these schemes of the devil. Entire church denominations. Did God really say homosexuality is wrong? Did God really say he created male and female? Every day, I have a short trip from Pleasant View to Pendale Farm, which is where I go every day. It's 3 miles. And I pass a church. I pass two churches. One church, I'm not going to give the name, will have signs out like read like this. "Come to our church picnic tonight. Beer will be served." Really? Another one, "Come to our worship next Sunday." And I'm not saying these are all wrong, but it puts question marks in my mind. "Come to our worship next Sunday. We're going to bless our pets. Please bring your dog." Sounds good. We get into trouble, I think, when we cherry pick the Bible and find things that support what we think is right. Satan invites us to add our own interpretation. Another way that Satan strategizes with us is he challenges our identity, and we sang about this morning. In Luke 4, 1 to 13, Satan came against Jesus to tempt him. Twice he said, "If you are the Son of God," when Jesus said, or Satan said, "tell these stones to become bread," also, "throw yourself down from this," jump down. "If you are the Son of God," the devil, in this situation, the devil chose a time when Jesus was physically weak and hungry, and so he attacked his identity. Satan does the same with us. He hits us during a crisis, which could be a spiritual struggle, and suggests, "If you are a child of God, this wouldn't happen to you. If you were really a Christian, God would help you right now." Another scheme, twisting scripture. Another of the schemes of the devil used against Jesus was to quote scripture, but with a twist. In Luke 4, 10 and 11, Satan quotes Psalms 91, 11 and 12, in an effort to persuade Jesus to act in the flesh rather than follow the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." In the Luke account, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, the devil had Jesus stand on the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, because it's written that He has placed you in the care of angels to protect you, and they will catch you. You won't as much as stub your toe on a stone." I think that must be from the Message. But Satan failed to complete the thought of the psalm. Psalms 91, verse 13 says, "You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." These animal metaphors mentioned in Psalms are used in scripture other places to describe the devil. So the meaning of Psalms 91 is that God will protect and empower his servants as they overcome Satan, his enemy. We see this scheme being used today as prosperity preachers, false prophets who quote scripture in selfish and misleading ways. They use enough scripture to sound authoritative, but they twist it to fit personal agendas. Cherry-picking verses from the Bible to affirm whatever we want to believe or do is a problem, and most people who do that have no idea that they're victims of a devilish scheme. Satan knows he can't come at mature Christians with an upfront attack, and so he slides in the back door. For example, and see how real this is, you don't need to go to church to be spiritual. Another example, we connect better with God alone in the woods. How many times have I heard that? And there's, now that seems like it's so true. Another one, those church people are hypocrites anyway. Or another one, you are too righteous to associate with them. Schemes of the devil. Or another one, technically, it might be wrong for someone to move in with a boyfriend, but you can witness to him better as he watches you live out your faith. Sounds pretty good. Another scheme that Satan uses. He's a deceiver. He's the master of deception, Scripture tells us. You know, deception is a scary thing. A person who is deceived believes with all his heart that he is right when really he's in error. Matthew 24:4, Jesus' words, take heed that no one deceive you. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Did you hear that? Boy, that really struck me. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. When a person hears the word of God, yet does not obey, deception enters his heart and mind. This deceived person thinks he is a target when he thinks he's on target when actually he's in error. It's amazing how the writers of Scripture, especially in Ephesians, foresaw our day with greater accuracy than we see it. Well, Scripture tells us in Ephesians, to come against Satan's schemes, strategies, or evil tricks, Scripture warns us to put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet ready for peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Let's look at each of those and see how they can work in our own lives, how they apply. The belt of truth. Satan fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound the truth. The world will tell us the lie that you can choose your gender. We need to be ready with God's truth that in the beginning, he made male and female. God chooses, not us. Wow, that's a big one in our day, isn't it? The world will lie to us saying, my body, my choice, in order to end a baby's life. God's word gives truth. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We won't automatically be guided with the truth of the word. We need to study. We need to know what it is. We need to recognize and memorize and apply it. Another thing that God or the scripture asks us to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. Satan often attacks our hearts, which is our emotions, our self-worth, our trust. The breastplate is the piece of armor that crosses over and protects your chest and your vital organs. The Christian's breastplate, God says, is righteousness. Think about that. Righteousness is the breastplate. Righteousness is being right with God. The devil will attack us and say, you're not righteous. Look at what you said. Look at what you just did. Look at what you thought. Or look at what you left undone. That's true in part, The devil knows how to use half-truths. The truth is, we have all sinned, and none of us, in ourselves, are right with God. But that's not the end of the story for believers. And you know this, because that's why Jesus died on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When you become a Christian, God takes our sinful, inadequate righteousness and gives us Christ's perfect righteousness. So when Satan attacks us, this is the breastplate of righteousness, we can say, I'm not righteous, but I have been given the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. See what the devil thinks about that. Another one. Have your feet ready to share the gospel of peace. Be prepared to share the gospel when you have opportunity. Why would this be a part of our spiritual armor? Because people need the gospel. Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is a worthless, hopeless task. The negative responses are too much to handle. The shoes God gives us is the motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace which is available in God. In the day that this was written, a Roman soldier would have spikes on his shoe soles, very much like football players have today, because they were fighting and they needed solid footing. Are your feet ready? Put on the shield of faith to finish this verse, to fight off the flaming missiles of the evil one. Satan is always shooting arrows at us, not physically, but in a spiritual sense. He attacks our thoughts, our feelings, our temptations he brings. Like, everybody's doing it, you're going to miss out. If you watch enough of screen stuff, things on TV, you know that if you use the wrong toothpaste, you're going to be a failure. Like, wow, come on. Or another one, you're old-fashioned. Nobody believes that anymore. Being very much gray-headed, I hear this probably once a week. You're old-fashioned. It's not that way today. No. Another one, you may as well give in and quit that ministry. So we hold off these fiery missiles, these arrows, by faith. We believe what God's word says. And this is a challenge. So Satan fires the missile. You ain't doing any good. Quit. So the shield of faith says, and this is in Galatians, no, in due time we will reap if we do not lose heart. Satan fires, you're getting old and declining. Your shield says, nope. Psalms 95, the righteous man will still yield fruit in his old age. Satan fires, you're all alone and nobody cares about you. Your shield says, nope. Psalms 23, and you can probably, there's other answers to this. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. That is a bell ringer. Yeah, really. Yeah. We're to put on the helmet of salvation. Protect yourself, your thoughts from lies. You've got to guard your head. Make sure you're saved. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God's saving work for us. Do you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? Do you know for certain? This might bring some emotion, but I have a brother-in-law who's went to be with hospice, 2 weeks back there? And he's not sure that he's 90, 91? He's not sure that he's saved. He's with hospice. 1 John 5:13 says, I'm writing that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. And this is I think this comes out of a setting where Paul talks about believers who sin and pray that God will give them life. Was it just on Thursday this week that an Eldon Crider was T-boned at Brenneman and Hassler Road? Wow, a 40-year-old father, 43-year-old father, lost his life instantly. Somebody ran a stop sign. Life is very uncertain. Make sure your salvation is not just something you know in your mind, but that it's something in your heart. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is our sword, the Bible tells us. We can fight the devil with scripture. Jesus did. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to a test. Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. This sword is the only weapon of offense in this world. Let me close out with this example or this story. Blood tests are an annual procedure in my healthcare, and maybe with some of you, blood tests. It's interesting that in the natural, doctors know that many health problems are based in the blood. Like, after the blood test, my healthcare person will say, your blood sugar is at a certain level. They will say, you probably know what they're looking for. I don't know all of them. There are some deficiencies in your blood that we need to take care of. What about your cholesterol? It's in the blood. About 4 weeks ago, I had an echocardiogram taken. The technician, who was very outgoing, too much so, I think, said that she worked on the operating heart floor, and so she knows pretty much what she's doing. And she said, do you want to hear what your blood flow sounds like? I thought, wow, you're going to share this with me? And it was a loud. She said, this is your... She put her microphone at each of my valves, and I could hear them functioning or not functioning. In this case, it was functioning. Do you want to hear? So in the spiritual, the answer to the problems has already been given to us through the blood of Jesus. I thought, this is a great comparison. No. So like the technician, do you want to hear? Read God's word. Do you want to hear what this sounds like? Do you want to hear? Read God's word. He will give you beauty for ashes, from Isaiah 61:3. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. As we come to prayer and we close, I would like to just take a few moments of silence for us to pray. And maybe we need to invite God to help us get serious about putting on the things that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. And then I'll close. So let's pray together. God, for this time together. Thank you, Father, that we, as believers, are never in this fight alone. We ask you to help us to stay alert in this dark world. Help us to keep our ears on. And as we go from this place now, as you dismiss us, may we go knowing that you are with us and that you give us strength and energy to face those things that are maybe out on the street, and may we share in other people's lives that may be hurting or that may need to be experiencing a lift. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.